We're going to backtrack a little bit. And we're going to go back and look at 17. 18, I was excited about 18. I don't often condemn the Catholic Church, but it needs condemning. It is a very wicked, religious organization, and a religious organization is not necessarily good. It is the ecclesiastical church, and the ecclesiastical church is a church of apostasy. Apostasy is everywhere. It's even in some of the good churches. Little hints of it here and there. And we have to understand, folks, we can be just as guilty. We should not condemn anyone. We should not judge anyone. But by their fruits you shall know them. And that's Jesus' explanation. And so as we look at various churches, like the church down the road, I don't know what they're preaching down there. I have no idea, and I don't want to go find out. I just know that I belong here. This is where the Lord has put me. This is where the Lord has put you, I hope. I hope you just didn't wander in and not know your way home, so you're staying here, but it's important, folks, that we be a church of truth. Tim talked about truth this morning, and that's the one thing that we have and we must maintain, no matter what. No matter whose toes it steps on, no matter who it might accuse, truth must remain truth. In the book of Revelation, there are two Babylons. One is ecclesiastical, and the other is political. When we saw the beast rising up out of the sea of humanity, that was the political beast. Later on, we saw a beast coming up out of the earth, and that was the religious beast. That was the beast that was causing the others to worship the political beast and the dragon, the devil who gave him his power. The very same thing is going on today throughout our nation. Men in the military are being cut off from the truth. The chaplains are no longer being permitted to practice the truth and preach the truth. If they do, they are either drummed out of the service or they are criticized and punished. I don't know what our men in the military are going to be able to do. And it's all part of what we have studied in the way of the book of Revelation. So we're going to look at chapter 17 tonight. It deals with both factions. It deals with the ecclesiastical Babylon, which is the apostate Christendom, and the papacy, that's part of the ecclesiastical Babylon. And that deals with the political Babylon, which is the empire of the first beast of chapter 13. Now, ecclesiastical Babylon will eventually be destroyed. Listen to me. Ecclesiastical Babylon, the papacy, the church, even if it's apostate, will eventually be destroyed by the political Babylon. And it's coming. It's coming very soon. There will not be a church. not meeting like we're meeting here. There are other nations that started out with freedom to worship, freedom to worship God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and they welcomed missionaries because it was benefiting them. The people were a lot easier to control because they were subject to God's word. And then the church began to become political. It began to exhibit power. And they did not understand the power that it was exhibiting, that it was not a political power, but it was a supernatural power coming from God himself. That is the only way any of us are going to survive, is if we are in a position where God can take care of us, where God can deliver us from those who would destroy us or prevent us from worshiping, from speaking the truth. So we will look at that tonight. Babylon was founded by Nimrod. He was the grandson of Ham. Remember what a great fella Ham was? That his father cursed him. Threw him out because he had seen his father's nakedness. He had observed his father's sin. So Babylon was the brainchild of his son, or his grandson Nimrod. And anything that involves Babylon involves sinful activity. True that at one time, Nebuchadnezzar, who was the emperor of Babylon, came to believe on God, the true God. And for the rest of his life, he believed God, he obeyed God. Then came his son, who did not. Then came his son's son, his grandson. It was his grandson who was sitting at the banquet when he looked up and saw the hand writing on the wall. And it says his knees smote one another. He was scared. Scared of God. In our country, in our government, there is one group that cannot be stood. They cannot stand the Christian because they cannot be successful as long as we practice our Christianity. Because we are dealing with the truth, they are not. So let's start looking at Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17, 1 and 2. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now it talks about waters. It's talking about people. It's talking about the sea of humanity. And the Catholic Church, the great whore, sits upon many different peoples all over the world. It is a predominant church in many countries, Mexico, Central America, because of who conquered those areas to begin with. It was conquered by the Spanish. That's why they don't speak German there. They speak Spanish. Because it was the Spanish conquistadors that conquered them. They went there looking for wealth. That's what the church has always looked for. Wealth. So it says here, I will show unto the judgment of the whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Spiritual fornication, folks. Spiritually being involved with worshiping spirits that are not of God, other than God. The many waters that the great whore sets on, many peoples and nations. There's a day coming when God is going to reject the Catholic Church and the papacy. Most of its members and participants will be condemned to hell. Now you think about this. Most of its members, most of its people who are participants will be condemned to hell. Nice people, folks, people who are believing in a church to save them rather than a Savior, the Son of God. And that is what they believe. They believe the church will save them, not Jesus Christ. They know who he is. They've heard of him. And occasionally the priest may even preach about him. But they are depending upon their church membership to save them and keep them from hell. If they are excommunicated because they do not do what the church says, then there is no way for them to go to heaven, they believe. And folks, it's not the church that decides that. It's God. Based upon his word, based upon his commandments, based upon his love and his justice. Because God is merciful, he does call out the true believers before he destroys the whore. Because he is merciful, he calls out the true believers, and the Catholic Church does not practice the truth of the Bible. They don't have a King James Bible. They have a Douay translation. Every country where the Catholic Church is permitted to be in authority is under the control of the Pope. That is one of the things that was feared when President Kennedy was elected, because he was a Catholic. He was the first Catholic to be elected President of the United States. And people were afraid that just like many of the kings all over the world, he would bow to the authority of the Catholic Church. He was not that good a Catholic. Praise the Lord. The Pope has exerted ecclesiastical power over the rulers through the ages. The Catholic Church has always adopted the superstitions of the local populations in order to gain control over them. Her fornication is a spiritual one. Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit to the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-covered beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Look back, if you will, at verse 1 of chapter 13. Flip back just four chapters. Chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Same beast. Same beast. Seven heads representing seven kingdoms, comprised of more than one nation. Ten horns representing nations, with the crown representing the kings of those nations. Now it becomes time to address the woman. Revelation 17:4. And a woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and checked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. It sort of reminds me of a meeting of the cardinals with the Pope at the center of the meeting. And they are going to give mass to everyone, and so they have this golden cup. Every time that the Catholics have mass, they re-crucify Jesus Christ. When we hold communion, it is a remembrance. It is not an actual act. But they actually believe that what is in that cup is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They actually believe that that wafer that they give the person becomes his literal body, flesh. They re-crucify him every time they have a mass. Revelation 17:4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold, precious stones, and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Look at the Pope when he appears. Anywhere. Look at him when he's in his ceremonial robes. Look at the cardinals when they're in their ceremonial robes. They're decked with pearls. They're decked with gold. It is red. It is purple. Just as it is talking about here. Now remember when this was written. This was written in 95 AD. The Catholic Church came into being in 316 AD. More than 200 years later. And yet John describes the attire of the officers and officials in the Catholic Church 200 years before they existed. Is this not some kind of prophecy? Is this not something for us to be watching for? In the woman's attire, I see the Catholic pageantry and the vestments of the Catholic clergy. With the description of her actions, there can be any question that we are observing the Catholic Church in action. Revelation 17:5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Does that sound like the Church of Jesus Christ? No. And folks, it is not. It is not really a church. It's an organization. This action is not new or unheard of before this written account. We read of a similar thing in Jeremiah 3. And I'm going to go to some different places in the Bible so that you can see that the Bible does prophesy about what is coming. And part of what it prophesies about is the Catholic Church. In Jeremiah 3, 6 through 10, it says, The Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah, the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, Turn thou unto me. But she returned not. And her treacherous sister, Judah, saw it. And I saw, when for all the cause whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister, Judah, feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with rocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned to me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. How would you like our church to be called the Mother of Harlots? How would that make all the ladies feel, Tim? You think it would make them proud? No, I don't think it would either. Based upon God's word, if someone in our church were involved in this kind of enterprises, we would ask them to leave after attempting to lead them to the Lord for salvation. We have a great commission to be our marching orders. That is what we operate on. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We talked about him this morning. We'll talk about him some more. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. When did Jesus ever set up a hierarchy within the church? You remember when we were reading chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, studying them, the seven churches? And what began to appear in the church was Nicolaitism. That was the development and the beginning of the Catholic hierarchy, the priest, the bishop, the cardinal, the pope. Look how this woman conducts herself in Revelation 17, 6 and 7. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. Folks, more Christians have been killed and martyred by the Catholic Church than any other source. More Christians and martyrs have been killed by the Catholic Church than by any other single source. You might say, what about the Germans and the 6 million Jews? They were not Christians. Catholic Church claims to be a Christian. The Catholic Church has murdered any in opposition to it over the centuries of its domain. Let's let the angel tell us about the Mother of Harlots. Revelation 17, 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. There's our three peace formula, past, present, future. Part of that is Rome. Rome existed during the time of Christ. Rome ceased to exist when the church seemed to come to power in 316 AD. When Constantine came back as a Roman Empire emperor and saw a cross in the sky made up of the clouds and declared it to be the religion of Rome. And for a brief while, the Roman Church died, but the Catholic Church began to flourish. It was the Roman Catholic Church. And just when people thought Rome was dead, the Catholic Church has come into great influence again. The church being reborn, at least in the eyes of people. The ones that follow the beast are the ones whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You want a guarantee that you will not be going to heaven? Join the Catholic Church. It's pretty sad. There are Catholics that I like. Some of the news people, like Tucker Carlson, and others, they're Catholic. These people are headed for hell, folks. As nice as they are, as honest as they are, as moral as they seem, that's not what gets us to heaven. It's not going to get any one of us to heaven. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ that gets us to heaven. And that is the only thing. There is none other name given among men whereby a person must be saved. None other. Not Pope John or Cardinal so-and-so. Or Jesus Christ is the only one. And it specifically mentions those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those people are not saved, they are lost. This beast comes from the pit of hell. He existed. He ceased to exist. And he will make one more comeback, and that will be during the Great Tribulation. The angel who is talking to John goes on further to identify the beast. Revelation 17, 9 and 10. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. What is Rome called? City on seven hills. Verse 10, and there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. The seven kings represent seven different kinds of Roman government. Rome has used many different governments, seven of them in total. Five of the kinds of rule have ended. We have a sixth type of Roman rule right now, and one is yet to come. That will come during the Great Tribulation. That will be the one that makes the arrangement with the Jews to rebuild the temple and then breaks that agreement in the middle of the agreement, 3.5 years. It will be one of the previous forms of Roman government. I'm not a student of Roman government, so I cannot give you the details. The seven kings do rule. Revelation 17, 11, 12. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Folks, what does this say? Now the Catholics would really, really come back on you or come down on you It says that the kings, the rulers of the Catholic Church, of the Roman Catholic Church, will go into perdition. Folks, the Pope is going to hell. Catholics wouldn't like you to tell them that, so don't. Tell them about Jesus instead. We have a sixth type of Roman rule right now. Verse 12 says, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast, with the devil, with Satan himself. These kings will form a 10-kingdom federation under the authority of the devil." Revelation 17:13. "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast, What is our president's church? Our current president's church? Roman Catholic. Do you understand why things are going so astray? It is not God that they are worshiping or following. It is the Pope. It is Satan himself. And he is ruling. So the kings will form a 10-kingdom federation. They have one mind. They give their power and their strength to the beast. And Biden has given his power and his strength to the beast. And the beast is the devil himself. As we come to verse 14, we have to jump ahead to the 19th chapter. So let's look at the verse, Revelation 17:14, which says this, "These shall make war with the Lamb." These shall make war with the Lamb, with the church. "And the Lamb shall overcome them." God is going to win. "For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful." People, that is us. The chosen and faithful. Now, we have to jump ahead to Revelation 19, chapter 19, to verse 19. If you will, turn with me to that, Revelation 19, verse 19. "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse," that was Jesus Christ, is Jesus Christ, "and against his army," that's us. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast, and with them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." The political beast and the religious beast, both are destroyed by Jesus Christ. The overcoming also involves the disposing of these people, these beings. There are three conditions given here, and we need to acknowledge each of the three called in time. 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." God called you before you ever existed. Before you were even a thought. Your parents didn't exist. When God called you, it was before the creation had occurred. And God knew, because he has all knowledge, he's omniscient. He knew that you would be here today. And he called you to be his child back then. You had a choice. We're not Calvinists. You had a choice. Be his child or reject him. And because you're here tonight, obviously you accepted him. That's 2 Timothy 1:9. It wasn't based upon our works. It was based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called in time, chosen in eternity. Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. People, I hope you're starting to see this. God's love called you. God's love chose you. And there's one more. Confirmed faithful. And because of God's love, we are confirmed faithful. Matthew 25, 21, 22. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Folks, we all have a job to do here. We want to hear Jesus tell us that. Thou good and faithful servant. That's what we all want to be. And he has said, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And his joy is having us present with him. That is his joy. Because he shed his blood for us. Revelation 17:15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The Catholic Church is domineering in its worldwide control exercised over the people under its authority. Revelation 17:16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. The political body, the political Babylon, the citizens of the political Babylon will destroy the church. They will destroy it. Why do you think they'll do that? Because you and I were born with a sin nature. They were born with a sin nature. They don't know what to do about their sin nature. They've never heard. And so they're going to destroy anybody who tries to tell them what to do. All that's going on around us right now, the economic turmoil, the lies, the lack of truth, the organization to suppress truth. All of those things are actually God accomplishing what he needs to accomplish. We are working our way toward the end time. It's not pretty. Many of us don't like it. Nonetheless, it is God accomplishing his will. Revelation 17:16. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, he shall hate the whore and make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Those ten horns, those ten kings will destroy the Catholic Church. There are other groups that will be destroyed also. As we read in the book of Revelation, at some point, the Jews are going to build a new temple upon the rock of the mount, or mount of the rock. No. Dome of the rock. Okay, yeah. Something wasn't right there. In order to do that, the Muslims will not exist. Do you think they will let them destroy that mosque? Look what they've done when they've badmouthed the Quran. Folks, it all fits together. We don't see it, but it does. It all fits together. And God is telling us. In our opening statement, I told you that the people under the control of the beast would turn on the church and destroy it, and they will. This doesn't happen by accident, but God works his will. God's going to win. No matter what our government might think, no matter what they might try and stop or curtail or destroy, God's going to win. Revelation 17 and 18. For God hath put their hearts to, hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Listen to this. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. You think God isn't going to win? God is going to put in their hearts to do what he wants them to do, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Verse 18, and a woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth, Rome. Romans, Paul wrote about it, Romans 9, verses 14 through 20. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say even unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? God's will is going to be done, folks. He's going to have his will. No matter what you plan, what you think, he's going to have his will in your life too. And in the life of all of his enemies. And that's chapter 17 that I skipped last week. any questions or comments. We come to chapter 19 for next week. That's one of my favorite chapters. Chapter 19. So we will see you here, Lord willing, next Sunday night. Pardon? Oh, no, we won't have church Sunday night. It's Mother's Day. You got to go take care of Mama. So, it'll have to be the next week. Any comments? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for showing us in a way that we can understand. Not completely, but in a way we can understand. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to help us. Father, may we live according to your will. May we do those things that are according to your will. And Father, use us and make us fruitful for thee. And we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.